We've got a family with us, the Corrales family. They've been with us for a few Sundays, and today is our last chance to hear their testimony, because they'll be going this coming Saturday. So I'd like to invite Obed up, and he's going to just tell us a little bit about it, so we can be blessed by their testimony, by their story of trusting God. Thank you, Obed.
Thank you.
Come on up. I'll stand here.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing?
Hello.
Well, testimonies are really, really good, but the best testimonies are the testimonies that are not about a testimony of what we do, or how special we are, or how blessed we are, but a testimony about what God does and how amazing He is. And that's the most encouraging thing. In anything of what I'm about to tell you, it's not about how special we are, how unique, how, I don't know, full of faith or whatever. It's about how faithful He is, because He truly is. Let me start with an example from the Bible. You recall the people of Israel that God selected for His own. He chose a people for His own. These were nobodies. They were not mighty. They didn't even exist when He chose them. Then they became numerous, but they were oppressed. And then He takes them out with an outstretched arm, mighty and powerful. And then they are found in Sinai, at the mount of the mountain, at the foot of the mountain, where He speaks. And He's calling on all of them. Now they have seen His hand. They have seen His miracles. They have not just heard, they have seen. But when they come to the mountain and they see how terrifying He is, and He's inviting them to go up, because they are called to be a nation of priests, all of them, not just one, all of them, they are terrified. And they see the rumbling, they see the thunder, they see the ground shaking, and they fear that if they go up there, they are not going to return. So they send Moses. Because, you know, they are safe now. They are safe. God made sure of that. And for many in the people of Israel, that was enough. They're safe. They're provided for. But do they want to know God? Are they willing to go up the mountain? Well, not if I die in the process. So they send Moses, because, you know, if he dies, well, that's him. But not me. So he goes up. They don't think, they don't know if he is going to make it. But after 40 days, they're sure he didn't make it. So they start to come up with this idea. Well, we need God to lead us, but, I mean, we cannot harness this God who makes everything shake. So what do? So they ask, they request for a God that they can not lead or follow, but carry to wherever they want to go. A God that they can put words in their mouth. That kind of God. And so this is a God that they want to be able to manage. Otherwise, it would be terrifying. So they need something like this. And they do a horrible thing. They have seen God, and yet they didn't want to know God. And now they are turning to do this thing. But suddenly, Moses comes down the mountain. And they are shocked and terrified. Not only did he go up, he also came down. And that was witness that men could know God, could meet him and live. Before that point, they didn't know that. They just didn't know that. How would they know? Before that point, they just didn't know that. About 4 years ago, God, in January of 4 years ago, He made an invitation to us. Now, he has been preparing us, unbeknown to us. He has been preparing and orchestrating so many things in our lives that we didn't know the time. But he has been calling. But at this point, 4 years ago, he comes and makes it explicit. And I mean really explicit. He's making an invitation to follow him. So, obviously we ask the sensible questions. All right, what do you want us to do? Where? With whom? How? All these things. And then he just says, no, just follow me. Which doesn't allow for much planning or preparation. You don't know even what to do. So what's the next step? What am I supposed to do next? We go to several missionary organizations. They will say, yes, come with us. And God says, no, that's not what I want. So we're confused. I am scared. Because when you have an organization, you know, it's not bad. It's really good. It's just that when you have an organization, you feel that you're not alone. In case of emergency, there is a parachute. You know, we all want one of those. And God said, no, none of those. My brother was at the time the president of the board of directors of OM in Costa Rica, which is a huge missionary organization. My parents are missionaries, so we had the door open wide. But God said, no. So I'm confused. What does he want us to do? At the same time, he wouldn't tell us. At the same time, he doesn't want us to rely on anything except him. And he asked us to leave everything behind. So we had a comfortable life. We have been asked before, so are you fleeing from something? Like, no, we had a really good life. If we would have stayed, I'm sure we would be having a very good life still. But God was inviting us. So what do? We pray about it. He made it very explicit so that we will not be at a loss. And we needed it. So finally he left. We left on January 31st, 2020. We leave. Now he was very explicit that we had to depart by January of that year. Very explicit. Against our will and better judgment, he was very specific. Unbeknown to us, of course, that a month later or so, there will be a worldwide pandemic ensued. Which, when it happened, the first thing that we thought is, alright, this is not the right time to be traveling around the world with three little girls. And we were scared. But he told us at every time, just go where I tell you next. And I am not going to tell you what's going to happen after that. Or where you're going to go after that. I'm just going to tell you the next step. And for the last 3 years, we have been doing so. Now that's what I showed you before. You know, it's not, what I told you before, it's not about witness about how spectacular we are, but how amazing and faithful he is. On that first year when we were preparing to depart, we met a family, the Benedicts, from the United States. This is a crazy family that we had met, just to tell you, they are 11. They have 9 children. And God calls them to leave everything behind. They live a very comfortable life. To go to Costa Rica, to a place they don't know, they have never been to a culture they don't know, in a place they don't know the language. They don't even speak the language. But God calls them. And they leave everything behind. They sell everything and they go down. And God starts to do so many amazing things. Now when I meet them, and God is calling us outside of Costa Rica, and he brings these guys to Costa Rica, I have a sensible question to ask. We are from here. We know the culture. We know the language. We know our way around. We have connections. Why don't send us to our country? Leave him there You know, he's comfortable there. He can definitely do much better things in a place that he has more resources and he feels more comfortable. Wouldn't he? I certainly can do more here where I know so many people. I have connections. Here I can do so much for you. And God says no. And it just puzzled me. But throughout these last 3 years, I started to realize something. When you are out of your element, when you are not home, when you don't know anybody, you cannot rely on who you know or what you have. You're forced to rely on Him alone. And that is not just important, it is necessary. So, you don't need to go out to the other side of the world to find this. But you must realize that what you have is not enough. And it should not be relied upon. If that is being relied upon, then we will be doing the same thing as that rich man. That is not enough. You don't need to go out to the other side of the world to realize this. But when you do, you're forced to do so. Now, for the last 3 years, we have been witnesses of so many amazing things. There's no way we could have survived it. There's no way we could have orchestrated this so perfectly as it has. There's no way. We have been traveling and seeing so many things firsthand. And we have been driven through a perfect path, safely, where there was so much against us. The Lord has been our shepherd, truly. But it has been challenging. It's not like one of those things where, you know, fairy tales, where things just work out so nicely, you know. And it's not like that. At every step of the way, there has been so much uncertainty. Until we started to realize that we don't need that certainty on a program, on a schedule, on knowing. We need certainty on one thing alone. That He has called us and that He's with us. That's it. And He has been faithful. He calls us here about 3 years ago in Scotland. And then once we were very comfortable, because He led us to a place mightily where we were safe, He calls us out. And He calls us to Greece, a place we had never been to. We literally know no one. Not a single soul. No one. And we have no idea where we're headed there for. More importantly, He calls us at a time where, because it is a pandemic, Greece is closed to us. We're not allowed into Greece. And God says, go to Greece. And I say, but the government of Greece says otherwise. And He says, well, who are you going to believe? Oh boy. So we start to pray about it, and He's like, I already told you, so. Alright, so we booked the tickets. And I'm trying to hold on to something just in case, but there's nothing. There's no going back. We made it to the airport in Edinburgh. And they look at our papers and they don't notice that we are not supposed to be boarding the plane. So we go through. We are waiting by the gates, and when we are boarding, they don't notice that we are not supposed to be boarding. So we go through. We are sitting in the airplane before departing, and we are wondering, oh my goodness, any time now. Any time now. And someone walks in and is like, you, out. But they don't. The airplane just takes off. And we arrive to Greece a few hours later. And we come to this immigration officer, and finally someone catch on the fact that we are not supposed to be there. And he say, like, well, how do you make it this far?
I don't know.
Here we are. But you're not supposed to be here. Like, well, here we are. So they take us apart to a different room, and they try to figure out what to do with this family. We are not supposed to be here. And so we made a very simple prayer. God, you told us to come here, so this is your problem. You take care of it. And we were at peace, which is very remarkable. Again, it's not witnesses about how amazing we are, because we are not. It's because faith is based on evidence. And we have seen so much evidence by then, and we have seen so much since as well. That we say, this is you. I mean, you have to take care of it. That's what you said. You asked us here, well, you take care of it. So they start to look for a way, and then he realizes that we have American visas, and so he, you know, he kind of squints his eyes a little bit and pretends that we're Americans, and he says, welcome to Greece. And that's it. We were there where we were not supposed to. And God led us to two specific people. And it was amazing. But there was so much uncertainty still. We were apprehensive a lot of the time and anxious. What's next? What are we supposed to do? He leads us to Greece through an amazing set of circumstances in Thessaloniki. So we go to Bulgaria, a place we didn't even know that was north of Greece at the time. I had heard of it, I didn't know anything about it at all. We arrive to the place and they have these weird symbols and so on. They, you know, they have Cyrillic language. So we can't even tell when there is a stop sign because we are that lost. But God takes care of it. He leads us from one place to another, to another, to another, by the hand. We get to preach all over Bulgaria. We don't know the language. We don't know what we're supposed to be doing there. And God opened doors far and wide. We get to witness so many amazing things. We met a guy who is like a modern day Paul, and I'm not kidding. This guy was a part of the Communist Party in the times before the USSR fell down. And his job, which he enjoyed, was to persecute Christians. And God shows up to him and gives him a vision. He almost dies, but he makes it through, and then he's totally changed. Now this guy has never heard a prayer in his life. He has never read a Bible, ever. But he picks up a Bible. And he is driven to believe. And he makes the simplest prayer of repentance ever possible. He came to John 3:18. And because of a dream he had, he realized, oh my goodness, if I don't believe in the Son of God, I'm done. He has never heard a prayer, ever. So he doesn't know how to do the prayer of confession or anything like that. There's nobody to lead him. So he says, I believe. And believe he did. And his wife, she doesn't know what to do with this guy. She's confused. But then, seeing the evidence in him, in his own husband, in her own husband, then she comes to believe. And the two have been used to this day mightily. Through them, God has allowed for 800 churches to be opened throughout Bulgaria and Macedonia. You should have seen the things that God is doing in their lives and through their lives. And we were with them, and we witnessed, and we were encouraged. And we say, God, you don't need the most prepared persons. You don't need someone who has gone to seminary. You took these guys who didn't even know Anything about the Bible is said that they make for very good burning materials. That's it. And he does amazing things. We have been able to witness so many things. But then he calls us. We were going to Turkey, and on the last moment, literally, he pulls us to Macedonia. And as we are in Macedonia, we're crossing to Macedonia. We are going through a mountain pass in the middle of nowhere. I mean in the middle of nowhere. I mean, there's no houses, there's no infrastructure, there's no anything except a road. And in the middle of the road, up the mountain, there is this place where you are supposed to cross. And we don't speak the language. And they start to give us a hard time, and they are asking for a bribe or something. They want to fine us for this and that and whatnot. And we are lost. And we're like, God, you called us here. We were going there, and you made us move here, so you took care of it. And as we are praying, up the mountain comes this girl. I'm freezing with three different coats on and gloves and everything. And up the mountain comes this girl with a light jacket and, you know, some boots in the middle of nowhere. There's no car, there's no buses going through, there's nothing. He just comes walking up the mountain and just stands behind our car. Finally, they're calling, you know, the foreign ministry or something, and I don't know what in the world they're saying. So, all right. I say, this is taking too long, so I'm going to allow the lady to go through. So I signal for her to go through. And I step aside. Because COVID times, you're not supposed to be close to anybody. So she comes. She looks at me and she says, what they're doing is wrong, you know? And I say, well, yeah, I know, but what could I do? Let me help you. I notice that she has a Polish passport. But she starts to speak fluently in Bulgarian. And she just spoke to me fluently in English. And she starts to talk to them. And I don't know who this lady is. But she starts to talk with such authority that the ears of the officer starts to turn back. And I don't know the language. I don't have an idea of what was said. But you know when someone is being rebuked, regardless of the language. These guys, they were taking a beating. And I don't know why they were taking a beating from this lady. Who she was, I have no idea. And she starts to ask some questions. We answer. We provide the evidence. And then she continues beating it up. And then finally she takes her passport, shakes it a little bit, and then she says, all right, it's all taken care of. And off she goes. Walking up the mountain, just as she showed up, she just goes, walking to the Macedonian part. And I'm puzzled, what does she mean? I hope she didn't, you know, make some trouble for us, I don't know what she said. And I come to speak with the officers, and they are nice now. Like, really nice. He's like, oh, let us call the translator. I'm like, my goodness, you had a translator all along, and you didn't tell us? You were making a software through Google Translate, and you know. So they bring a translator, and they start to like, oh, why did you park the car in here? You know, like, all right. So I'm like, come into the office, just call us. I'm like, what? Do you want some coffee? Like, oh my goodness, what's going on? You know, what did she say? They were really nice. As we're about to depart, we clear everything up. Well, we didn't clear, God cleared it through that lady, whoever she was. And as we're about to depart, they say, oh, hold on. Let us call to the Macedonian part to make sure that it gives you no trouble. I'm like, what in the world is going on? We go to the Macedonian part and we're not even, you know, we just go through it. It doesn't take us 5 minutes to go through it. Finally, we're in Macedonia and we just look at each other and like, what did just happen? Who was this lady? I cannot say that she's an angel, but I can say for certain that she was God sent. And we have seen time after time after time after time after time his mighty hand. He said, he promised, he will do so. And that's good enough. Now, as we are going through all of this, at first, people will ask, so what is your mission? Well, I cannot tell you because we haven't been told. But then we started to realize a little bit more. God is taking us so that we can provide evidence. Now, I have no idea to this day of everything that He's preparing, of all the things that He's doing, and why He's doing them. I cannot tell you anything except that He has been faithful, that He can be relied upon. That I can tell you. We have seen it before. Now we have seen it more. And we are called to be witnesses. We are not supposed to just talk about God with nice, eloquent words. We're supposed to show God in our lives. And for that, you don't need to step away from where you live. But we are supposed to show Him. Faith is the evidence of the things that we cannot see. The assurance. You know this. You have evidence. But do others have evidence? There's a passage in Exodus 33:7. After Moses comes down the mountain and rebukes him, and rebukes them because of what they have done, we read that in verse 7 says, "Now Moses used to take his own tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off the camp, but at a place that everybody could see. And he called it the tent of meeting of God with his own people. And everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp." Now he comes because he wants to know the Lord. He pitched a tent. But then everybody starts to look every time. The Bible says that every time he is going up to the tent, everybody pays attention. Looks at what he's doing. They notice that the moment he steps into the tent, the cloud comes down to meet him. And now, without him telling anybody to do so, they want to do the same. So he said that, and everyone who sought the Lord, not everybody was interested in meeting him, but everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. He didn't need to tell them, but he showed them. Just as he showed them that men could know God and still live. People need to see you. You need to show. A time is coming of great persecution, and you know this, where you won't be able to speak freely, and you know this. But why speak when you can show? That's what God calls us to do, to be witnesses. What shape or form this is going to take? I don't know. Certainly you don't need to go out far away to do this. But you need to show the evidence so that others could see and believe and get to know Him. For that, you're well prepared. God bless you all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Obed. I feel so encouraged.